The Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for tuning in on this Saturday morning. On the phone with me is Austin Murphy, who penned the introduction to a great new book called Super Bowl Gold, 50 Years of the Big Game. And with the big 50th Super Bowl upon us, I thought it'd be great to look back at the previous 49. Austin Murphy, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
It's good to be here in a book club that, you know, that actually sticks together, and because I've been in a couple of guys' book clubs that have not survived, you know, to the second book. But I probably shouldn't digress immediately. But thanks for having me.
Well, I wanted to say, of course, with 50 years of the big game, this is a great look back, incredible pictures and incredible information all the way through this. And I'll ask what so many have asked before. Well, I know it's the 50th anniversary, but what was the other reason for putting together Super Bowl Gold?
Yeah, so we've got this astonishing, comprehensive archive of pictures and stories. In a lot of ways, Sports Illustrated has, there's been this nice symbiotic relationship between us and the NFL. I actually wrote a book in the, coming up on 10 years ago, celebrating college football. It was called Saturday Rules, and I made the argument that the college game, with its kind of variety of offenses and just, you know, the marching bands, traditions, mascots, was just a little more fun and unpredictable than the NFL. But it doesn't really matter what I said in a lightly read book, that our focus groups tell us that our readers cannot get enough NFL. And so the other incentive to turn out this book is obviously this is capitalism at work. You know, print media, has been, you know, taking it on the chin for, a decade or two now, so this is a good way for us to sort of maximize our assets.
And boy, the assets, you talked about the pictures, Austin, and some of the pictures are great. I loved it when I first opened the book. The first two pictures I see are Joe Namath standing on the beach getting interviewed by a film camera at Media Day for Super Bowl III, and then Super Bowl, 39's Media Day or whatever, yeah. And it's like hundreds and hundreds. We've come a long way, baby.
Yeah, I love that juxtaposition. There's Namath in his swim trunks, and I'm thinking that's outside the Fountain Blue Hotel in Miami, and it's around the time he was guaranteeing victory in Super Bowl III, which I think was the first Super Bowl they actually called the Super Bowl. For a couple years, it was a more unwieldy name, the NFL champion versus the AFL champion, and it really was a glorified exhibition game. Namath guarantee, and then the Jets' subsequent upset of Johnny Unitas and the Colts kind of legitimized the AFL and the idea of the Super Bowl. But to put the two pictures, I was actually at that media day. I think it was just the last Super Bowl. I think it was 49, and we were all, you know, it's actually thousands of credited journalists, yes, trying to get something fresh or original. You know, we're thronging around the tables of these guys, and it's a complete carnival and another illustration of the way that this game has succeeded beyond the wildest dreams of its founders, you know, back in the days when Namath was on the beach outside the Fountain Blue. It's achieved escape velocity and transcends sport. It's this global beast now that, it's not just a football game anymore. It's the plot points of a Super Bowl are, you know, who's going to perform at halftime, who's singing the national anthem, and, there's a film festival within it. A lot of people tune in for the funny commercials or the terrible commercials, depending on your point of view. And oh, by the way, there's, you know, hopefully there's a pretty good game. Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't.
Speaking with Austin Murphy, about Super Bowl Gold, 50 Years of the Big Game by the editors of Sports Illustrated Magazine. You can learn more about it at our website, WVXU.org. Austin wrote the introduction. Well, and the halfway essay, too, which we'll get to halftime in a moment. But I, you know, looking back, you mentioned it, you know, hopefully there's a decent football game. And in my experience, there has been a run sometimes of Super Bowl games that are pretty much determined by the first quarter, if you may. And in the yeah. early days, it was kind of like that, too. You say the first few were known as Super Bowls.
There was a decade, I'm thinking, between, well, certainly the first game never reached critical mass. The NFL team, the Packers, were pretty dominant. But there was a run of Super Bowls. I remember I was just getting out of college, I think 83 to 93, average margin of victory. Aside from one close game, the average margin of victory was close to four touchdowns, and it was nicknamed the Super Bowl. The pendulum has since swung. And we've had some nice tight games, a lot of drama lately. And I would make the argument that even when a game is a blowout, it's, you know, like as in 1985, the Bears, with Buddy Ryan as defensive coordinator, had the best defensive team in the history of the NFL. And yeah, they took apart, they dismembered Tony Eason and the New England Patriots, but it was, there was something historic about it. You were seeing the best defense ever. It was somehow we appreciated it in an almost rubbernecking way. But again, you know, the threat of a blowout and of losing viewers at halftime was one of the reasons that the halftime show became more and more important to then Commissioner Pete Rozelle.
If you look at this book, and it's been fun going through it and getting the overview, you know, I might know a little bit about this Super Bowl or remember that one, but this has the whole nine yards all lined up. And I told you before we went on the air, I'm kind of an infomaniac, and boy, this book has everything you want to know about every Super Bowl. What was it like putting this together? I mean, granted, you recycled some stuff. You got some pictures that you know are using again, some of the accounts in Sports Illustrated of the games from their original issues, like for the first one back in January of 1967. You have accounts from the winners and losers of every game about their experiences there. This is not just a simple repurposing recycling here, Austin.
Yeah, no, it rises above the level of that, and as a result, I think above the level of a lot of commemoratives. To your point, we did have reporters go back and find a kind of a witness, a player from each team, the winner and loser of every Super Bowl, and talk about, oh, just give us a vignette or a snapshot or, you know, tear the scab off for us and revisit that pain. I mean, just as one example, and for last year's Super Bowl, we had somebody talk to Malcolm Butler, who was the rookie cornerback from West Alabama who jumped the route. Coach Pete Carroll, the Seahawks, called, or his coordinator did, called an incredibly misbegotten slant pass on the goal line when I think everyone agrees that if they just handed it to Marshawn Lynch a few times in a row, they would have won the Super Bowl. But
right. They
throw the look in, and Butler, who made the heroic interception earlier in the week against the scout team, had been beaten on that play. The wideout got leverage and got inside him, made the catch. And Belichick, the head coach of New England, had kind of sidled up and didn't raise his voice, but just said, "You got to get that." And he did. He remembered, and he did. And that was, I enjoyed sort of getting that little extra context from the book, and we have that for every chapter. Thanks for noticing.
Speaking with Austin Murphy, he wrote the introduction and was part of Super Bowl Gold, 50 Years of the Big Game by the editors of Sports Illustrated Magazine, available where books are sold. You can learn more at our website. And, well, speaking of scratching at the scab, the Cincinnati Bengals, our hometown team, has been to the Super Bowl twice, both times playing the San Francisco 49ers, both times losing. But I noticed you have the best Super Bowl to the worst rankings included in the book Super Bowl Gold, and those two Super Bowls are actually in the top 20.
Yeah, the one that really I mean, I would have put 23, and the Roman numerals have vexed me throughout this project.
Yes.
I wish the NFL would just, you know, stop putting on airs and just give us numbers. But, you know, Bengals, I did a story on the two-minute drill a couple years ago and talked to some of the principals, some of the people who were on the field late in the Super Bowl where, you know, Bengals are leading, I think 16, maybe 13, but, you know, Niners have the ball late. It was according to, I remember Harris Barton, one of the tackles for the 49ers, it was at the two-minute drill there was a late timeout, a TV timeout, and they were all milling around waiting to get started in Montana, showing sort of an inner calm that was incredible to everyone else. Said, "Hey, is that John Candy?" You know, he pointed to John Candy on the sidelines, the late Saturday Night Live comedian, and then proceeded to dissect the Bengals defense, driving them down the field. NFL Films caught Coach Weich saying something along the lines of, "Well, I've seen this movie before." And then he did, the dagger was a perfect throw to John Taylor. I think Jerry Rice helped out on the drive, but the game-winning touchdown was to John Taylor. And that was just the perfect two-minute drill to me. I still remember that one.
Yeah, 34 seconds left.
Wow. Barstool. Yeah, barstool arguments and, I do like our formula for determining the best games. It's actually pretty, you know, it's fairly formal. It's, you know, lead changes, fourth quarter, whether or not the team was an underdog, historical significance, memorable plays are taken into account. We stand by our list.
And what is it, 42, the Giants and the Patriots, the all-time catch by David Tyree, and two late lead changes as big underdogs and the Patriots' quest for the perfect season. That was not so long ago and quite memorable, too. And a lot of memories, you know, going through this, Austin, some of those old pictures and seeing some folks who are now the elder statesmen of the game and, you know, what they were working in their heyday. Boy, it really takes you back there.
It evokes. I love it. It's for the same reason that I can lose a lot of time inadvertently just sitting down with NFL Films and being lulled by the stentorian voice of the late narrator John Facenda. This is kind of a book version of that. But yeah, I'm more partial to the older the newer stuff. Yeah, is more. We remember it more vividly. I do like sort of rewinding. That's a great picture of Joe Green in there. I grew up, my formative years were in Pittsburgh when my allegiances were formed. And so I like the old pictures of the Steelers the best.
Well, it continues to be the spectacle each year and continues to grow. What do you see for the future of the Super Bowl, Austin?
Yeah, so at some point, I guess the price of a 1 minute advertisement will have to plateau. I don't know what it is now. It's in the several million or 4 or 5 million. So that, I don't know how long they can keep giving that kind of money for it. You know, I don't know if they can fit any more parties or corporate tents, but it continues to be vast. And like just when they told me to write the introductory essay for our 50th anniversary book on the Super Bowl, I was at first overwhelmed and struggled for a handhold of like where it's too big, and ended up going back to talk to the three guys we've seen on Visa commercials who have been to every Super Bowl. Just sort of drew them out on their experiences and their observations of how it has changed, which became kind of the spine of the essay. I talked to somebody who, I mean, the NFL would never be averse to anything that would make it more money. And so I think possibly, I mean, the league's going to become a little more international. They seem to be headed eventually toward putting a team in London. And I'd be surprised if that wasn't accompanied by a, you know, say a Toronto franchise or perhaps somewhere in British Columbia. Somebody mentioned the possibility of building a venue specifically for the Super Bowl. So instead of moving it around, you'd probably someplace with a dome, and all the teams would have a neutral site game there every season. But it would be, you know, and the NFL could make it a theme park, put the Hall of Fame there. But we were just, we were just spitballing about what might happen.
Well, the future remains to be seen in Super Bowl 50, just ahead. Thank you for taking a little time to share the book today, Austin.
My pleasure. It's the future is murky. The one thing we do know is that the Super Bowl is out here in Northern California, and that our 49ers will not be participating. But there's always next year.
Really? Austin Murphy, he wrote the introduction to Super Bowl Gold, 50 Years of the Big Game, by the editors of Sports Illustrated Magazine. It is a lavish, bold book with a look at every Super Bowl information galore. You'll love it. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.